we came down off the road and we're coming around the bend down to the docks. And I looked at her and I just said, do you realize this is where we live? I said, do you realize how many people don't appreciate God's beauty? They don't appreciate the creation of God and just take a few moments to realize. People say some bad things about this area, and I think it's beautiful, and I can just see God's handiwork in it. And I'll get you out of here a little bit early this afternoon because you can go enjoy it. I do want to let everybody know that immediately following my message, we do have a baptism this morning that we are going to baptize Sister Glenna in Jesus' name, and I'm very excited about that. There's something happening here in this church, and I'm excited about what it is, and I hope that you feel it, and I hope that you want to be a part of it. Have a few announcements, and then I'm going to get started pretty quickly. I do want to make sure everyone knows we have had many members that are new guests and visitors the last couple weeks. Every Tuesday, we have prayer at 5 o'clock here at the church, and immediately following prayer around 6 o'clock, we go into Bible study. That's our midweek Bible study on Tuesdays, and I want everyone to know that you are welcome to that. It's a little bit more casual of an atmosphere, but we're researching right now, and we're studying the book of 1 Corinthians and connecting that church that was in Corinth and the issues that they had to the church here in Ashtabula in 2026. There's a lot of parallels, and we've been studying some things. So if you'd like to come out and enjoy some fellowship and some time with your brothers and sisters, that is every Tuesday, prayer at 5, Bible study at 6. My wife did announce the combined link groups. For those of you that don't know what link groups is, it's just a way of getting together. During the months when the weather's not real cooperative for being outside, we do smaller groups from the individual campuses in people's homes. Then when the weather gets nice like it is now, we do what's called a combined link group. And the word link is just kind of a picture word so that you can see a chain linked together because we're stronger together. We'll meet now for the next 6 months on the fourth Sunday of the month at the Jefferson campus around 5:30. There's a ton of food. They have bounce houses for the kids to play in. It's a great time of fellowship. There's basketball courts. Sometimes they set up pickleball. If you just want to sit and talk and fellowship, it's a great, great time. If you need some connection, and I know most people that need connection would never admit that they need connection, you need people. God chose to build his church with people. People are imperfect. People have issues. People have attitudes. People have personalities. Guess what? Say this with me. I am a people. You come with attitude. You come with personality. Come find some other people and connect with them on a personal level, and it will help your walk with God. Bring something to eat. Bring something to share. Have a good plate of food. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy people's company. Those flyers, if you want one, are on the welcome desk. And if we run out of them, I can always make more. But keep those dates in mind. The first one will be next Sunday. My wife has already said this. I do want to let you know. Next Sunday, my wife and I will not be here. My oldest son and my daughter-in-law and our granddaughter have made the decision to move from Dayton back closer to home to Ravenna. I will say, well, I'll tell you this. My wife and I are ecstatic about it because we want to see our granddaughter more. So their house in Dayton is under contract. It's scheduled to close relatively quickly. They have a house in Ravenna that's not going to be prepared for them for a couple months. So they'll be moving to Austintown in with my daughter-in-law's parents. And we are going to go out Friday. I think Katie's actually going to leave work a little early. We're going to make the drive to Dayton, help them all day Friday and Saturday, go to church with them Sunday, and then make the trip back home from Dayton for Memorial Day. But we will not be here next Sunday. However, we are having church, and I've asked, and Pastor R. Derry has given me the okay, Brother Jerome Evans, who is the youth pastor of the Jefferson campus, will be preaching Sunday morning here. Many of you know him. He's a fantastic preacher. He's a great young man. I want you to come out and give him your support and have church. Somebody get the Holy Ghost next Sunday. Somebody get saved. So have church while we're not here. This is the announcement where I need everybody to say, he's talking to me. That wasn't everybody. I need everybody to say, he's talking to me. Correct. We need volunteers. Everybody make eye contact. We need you to be a volunteer. Now, Pastor Arderi said Wednesday in his Bible study, he's getting to the point where he's not going to ask for volunteers anymore. He's made a new word. It's called voluntold. I don't want to get there yet. I want to have volunteers. Saturday, May the 30th, which is only 2 weeks away, we are having a rummage sale, and we are going to open the modesty closet at the same time from noon to 2 on that Saturday. We need much help. We had 50 people or 45 people yesterday that came through our modesty closet. We had it open. We need people here the day of. In addition to that, unlike with the modesty closet where we can kind of open the doors and let it fly, with the rummage sale, we're going to need help all that week. So starting Memorial Day and that entire week building up to the 30th, during the evenings, if you have time, we're going to need to organize the stuff we have. If you were in the fellowship hall this morning, you've seen some stuff. We've got donations coming from everywhere. I got a phone call last night for a whole bunch of office desks and filing cabinets from an office in Boardman. They're remodeling their office, and they're donating all this stuff to us. But as you know, we don't have the largest facility in the world to house this stuff. So what I'm doing with donations and stuff like that from the community, we've had furniture donated. We have people that want us to come pick up their furniture. That week, we are going to start accumulating it here, getting it organized. My plan is this, and it's all weather permitting. If the weather is nice on Saturday the 30th, I want to have most of this stuff out in the yard so people can pull up, don't even have to come in the building and can look at things. It'll allow more free access for the people to go into the basement where stuff is free, and then the stuff that is for purchase will be on a different level, so it eliminates some confusion. However, we all know we live in northeastern Ohio. It can be like this right now, and at noon, it cannot look like this. So we need volunteers. Again, say, I is the person he's talking about. I is the person he's talking about. Please, we need you. We need your help. We need your expertise. Younger people, more mobile people, we need your beds are heavy, furniture is heavy. We need to move stuff between floors, in and out. We'll need some people here to talk with people. How many of you have ever been to a rummage sale? How many of you ever paid full price at a rummage sale? We need some negotiators. Anybody here cheap? We need you. So when they say, I'll give you 20, you're like, you give me 30. I'll give you 27. You give me 26.50. We need some of that. I do want to let you know, and this is the last announcement I'm going to make, the proceeds that we make from the rummage sale, and I want you to understand this. So this is why we need donations. This is why we need help. I have a goal. I have an idea, a vision of what I want to do. Last year, we started having family week the first week of every quarter, and we would cancel our midweek service. Some of you came. We had a picnic at the park. We went and saw the Christmas program that they had at the mall. We went to Pizza Hut one time as a group. We've done a lot of things. This year in the summer months for family week, I want the church to take the entire church that wants to go to Waldemere with no cost out of pocket. I want to be able to buy the kids tickets. I want them to be able to bring their friends. I want to be able to pay for parking. I want to have a picnic and people be able to come, enjoy some fun and family time with themselves and their family and not have to worry about the payment. And I believe we can do that if we can get this rummage sale organized and run the way that we can. We've got a bunch of stuff that's already been donated. We have a bunch more stuff that's coming to be donated. If you have anything that you've been sitting in the back of your garage that you're going to have a garage sale, and you've been saying that since 1964, bring it, donate it to the church. It's all going to a good cause. The more money we make, the more people we can take. I'd like all of you to be a part of that. I'm telling you, I want to ride a roller coaster with Sister Carter. I heard there's one that goes across the street. And she's always telling me to have faith, so I'm going to tell her, have some faith and get on this roller coaster with me. But remember those dates, and please come out and be with us and have a good time and help. I will say this as the last thing I want to say. For those of you that are on social media, here we go. I just felt it. I want you this week to please help us start promoting this. We can have the most organized rummage sale in the world. It can be perfectly organized and clean, and if we don't have anybody show up, it defeats the point of the rummage sale. I want everybody in America to know specifically that we are having a rummage sale from 12 to 2 on the 30th. Post it everywhere, every day, and promote it. If you want to make up a flyer and hang it up, if you want to send somebody a text, however you want to do it, let them know that we're having a rummage sale, and then let's have a good time. Amen? All right, let's get started. I want to be cognizant of time because of the baptism, and I'm excited about what God's going to do. I have a message for you this morning that's a little bit different than what I've been ministering on, but I think it's very important. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Matthew today. We'll spend a little bit of time in the book of Luke, but it'll be all New Testament. And pretty much everything that we're going to speak about today are the words of Jesus. I know sometimes people get really antsy when you start preaching things that Jesus didn't speak, and they say things like, I want to know what Jesus said, not what Peter said or what Paul said. Pretty much everything we're going to talk about today are the direct words of Jesus. If you're following in your Bibles, they'll be in red. But Matthew chapter 7, if you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screens. We'll have all the scriptures up there. I'm going to start reading at verse 7 and 7. It says this, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? Verse number 11, if ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We always stop at that verse. We love that verse. We talk about how if we're evil and we know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more does God know how to give good gifts to us? But I want to focus on verse 12. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let's read verse 12 one time. After everything Jesus said, he said, ask and it will be given to you. You seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does God want to give good things to you? And at the end of that, he says, therefore, all things that ye wish men would do to you, do ye to them likewise. So, for this is the law and the prophets. This title might not mean anything right off the bat, but as we talk this morning, I hope to get to a point where you understand what I'm talking about. I want to speak to you on a few moments this morning on someone has to go first. Someone has to go first. Now, what Jesus is saying here, he says, every one of us has a way that we would like to be treated. Amen. And if you say that you don't, you lie. All the men that act like they don't need anybody lie. I act like I don't. I give off a persona that I don't. My resting face looks like I don't. I like attention. When my wife starts to give it to me, I push back to make it seem like I don't need that, but I love getting it. When she comes home and she says, you look good, which never happens, I like it. When a gift comes out of nowhere for no reason and she says, I was thinking about you today, I act like I don't need that. What do you think? But I like it. I enjoy it. When someone tells me, which again, never happens, we like your outfit. I act like I like it. When people make fun of my outfits, I don't like it. I picked up a suit yesterday in the clothing giveaway. And I said, I'm going to take this. And they said, no, you're not. I said, this would look good on me. And they said, no, it wouldn't. We like those things. We like to be treated nicely. We love it. I love it. When people tell me, you're my favorite preacher, I usually respond with, well, you haven't heard very much preaching. But I get in the car and I'm like, I feel better. I feel nice. When they say, that was a great message, and I'm like, ah, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. When I get by myself, I'm like, man, I really, really like that. When my wife comes and gives me a card, which she does for most major holidays, and she'll write things like, you're a fantastic father. And I'm like, well, that's my job. That's what God called me to do. I have a burden. I have a stewardship. I use all them biblical words. But when I get by myself sometimes and I'm struggling mentally or I'm struggling emotionally, I'll pull those cards out and I'll read them. And I get encouragement from them. The Bible talks about a word fitly spoken. When we can speak a word into somebody's life in a season when they really need it, and we know those things, we discern those things, we like that. We like a way that we want to be treated. Am I honest? How many of you get treated like that as much as you think you should? Probably none of us. We live in a pretty rough world. Most of our realities aren't, you know, all roses and unicorns and rainbows. We live in reality. Sometimes life stinks. And sometimes the people that we are around the most stink. There's another good amen. And God, Jesus, is speaking and he addresses this. And he says, therefore, in all things that you would have men, and that could mean women, he says, therefore, in all things that you would have men or women to do unto you, do it to them first. Somebody has to go first. Somebody has to break the ice. Somebody's got to make a choice to do it differently. Somebody's got to wake up and say, this is the way my life is, but this is the way I want my life to be, and I have to do something different. Somebody has to go first. Grumpy people wait for somebody else to go first. Some people say things like this, I'm not getting my hopes up because my heart's been broken too many times, and they live a life guarded where they want someone to speak to them, but they can't allow it. What I'm telling this church on this day is let's choose to be the church that does it first. We don't wait for someone to do it to us. We go and do it to them. Jesus said, therefore, in all things, whatever you would want men to do to you, do it to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Turn with me in Matthew to chapter 22. Jesus speaking again, he says this, verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, you ever ask questions that you already know the answer to? You ever ask questions to be, are any men in here like this? Are any men, husbands, ornery? You ask questions to start arguments. You just kind of, you got to push some buttons. You got to, any men? Any women? Liars in the church. Let's preach about lying. This lawyer stands up and he asks Jesus a question, tempting him. And he says, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He's a lawyer. He asks the Lord, what's the great commandment in the law? And he's not asking him because he wants to know. He's asking him to try to start an argument. Anybody ever see how lawyers can start arguments? That's their job. He asks him, what is the great commandment? Jesus says unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. He doesn't stop there. Verse 39, he goes on and says, and the second is just like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, these are Jesus' words, hang all the law and all the prophets. Let me burst your bubble as a UPCI licensed preacher. You want to live for God? You want your life to be different? You want to be a Christian? Let me tell you two things that you should do that will fix 98% of your problems. There they are. Love the Lord thy God with everything in you. Every bit of energy, every bit of effort, every bit of knowledge, every bit of experience. Love God. Wake up every morning and say, I'm going to please God. It may not please my wife. It may not please the people I work with. It may not please my family. But my goal today for the rest of my life is I am going to please God with everything in me. I'm going to try as hard as I can. And when I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep trying because I'm going to please God. I'm going to make God happy. And the second thing you have to do is love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. If you'll notice, there's a whole lot less clapping going on about that one. I love Jesus. What about your neighbor? Bless their heart. The lawyer said, what's the great commandment? Said, love the Lord thy God with everything, all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, your finances, your energy, your health, everything you got poured into loving God. And then he didn't stop. He said, and the second one's just like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and everything the prophets preached about. Is hung on those two things. Everything the law teaches, the thousands and thousands of regulations that real Jews have, hang on those two things. And somebody has to go first. Anybody have a neighborly dispute? All right. Now, by neighborly, I mean the person that lives near you. Okay, now listen, I'm gonna give you some non-spiritual examples. Anybody have you live somewhere and you did the right thing, the conscious thing, the correct thing, the disciplined thing, and you cut down all your trees. And then every fall, you go out and you cut your grass and you get done and it looks like a golf course. You worry about how the lines go. They're laser sharp. You weed whack. You pull the dandelions. You do all the work, and you love it. You bring the family out. You bring the kids out. You bring the wife out. And they express those feelings that make you feel, you keep such a nice yard. You're so meticulous. And then you go to bed that evening, and it's a little bit windy in the fall. A little bit of wind comes off the lake, and your neighbor... Your neighbor who, if they would light a match and burn their property down, the value of it would actually go up. Their trees that they don't maintain, and their grass that they don't cut, and their dandelions that they don't pull, and their weeds that they don't whack, the Lord has sent a strong east wind, And that same yard that gave such great feelings the night before, you wake up in the morning and you walk out with your chest out through your bathrobe because you're so proud of what you've done, and you look at a disaster and you say words that are not Christ-like and you mutter things under your breath. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody has to go first. Katie and I have been talking. Let me tell you how kindness works. We're going to talk about love and kindness a little bit. I have a neighbor that's on my, well, depending on which way you're facing, he lives on the right-hand side of me if you're pulling into my driveway. His name's Paul. His wife's name's Bonnie. They're old, retired. Our whole neighborhood is old and retired, and I love it. We call it like Beverly Hills 90210 retired division. There's a lot of drama with retired people. It's the greatest. I noticed that every time I cut my grass, now I'm pretty obsessive about cutting grass. I cut the grass here at the church. I try to do it twice a week. I like the way it looks. I enjoy cutting grass. Pastor R. Darius told me, you need to find somebody else to cut the grass. You need to find somebody else to shovel the drive. And I'm like, you need to just let me be, don't steal my blessings. But I love cutting grass. I love it. But I've noticed every time I cut my grass, now I'm not retired. I work a full-time job in addition to pastoring. And most of my work is in Boardman, Ohio. So I drive to Boardman 4 or 5 times a week. I'm going there at 2 o'clock this afternoon. So I'm not, it's not that I'm not busy, but I notice while I'm cutting the grass, I have a neighbor on this side, old retired man, and I have a neighbor on this side who's a lady who's about to retire. Her name's Judy. While I'm cutting the grass almost every time, I hear 2 lawnmowers fire up, and they come out and cut their grass. I always thought it was just like old man, pressing, like that's how they flex. So yesterday, or was it yesterday? No, it was Friday. I was out cutting the grass. And I'm pushing along the side of the garage, and Paul comes over, my neighbor, and he walks right up to me, so I have to shut the machine off. He goes, I want to tell you something. And I said, what's that, Paul? He goes, I actually called my wife out and showed it to her. He's like, you have laser straight lines. He goes, I actually appreciate when you cut grass. He's like, because it makes my job easier. He's like, that's why I go jump on my Ryder mower. He has a John Deere, brand beautiful. And he cuts right where I'm cutting. He goes, I use your line. It's perfect. It's like a laser. He's like, I literally called my wife out last night, or last time you cut grass, we went to the back of the yard and looked this way. And then I made her walk all the way to the street on Fairview and turn and look this way. And she's as impressed as I was. So we had a little bit of a conversation. He built me up. I was like, man, that's right. You know, I know what I'm doing. He goes, you ever think about a riding lawnmower? And Katie has been talking to me. Katie's been looking. If Katie gets in her idea she's going to buy something, she's going to buy something. And she's like, you're not getting any younger. You're getting older. And I say, I actually use the lawnmower as exercise. I like pushing because it's almost like exercise. And when I come over here, it takes me about 1 hour and 10 minutes, and my house takes me about 1 hour and 45 minutes. So I can get 3 hours, 3.5 hours of exercise on days when it's not. It's a good sweat. It's good for you. But to be honest, I'm 51. I'm going to be 52. Eventually, I'm not going to want to be sweating like that. So I have thought about it, but I think that's years down the road. Well, Paul's like, you ever thought about a riding lawnmower? And I said, no, not honestly. He's like, because I'd like to give you one. I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, I got this new one. He goes, and I like it. He's like, but there's something about my old one. He's like, it's old. He goes, but it works so good. He goes, I love it. He goes, I loved getting it fixed. He goes, this one, I ain't got to do nothing. Turns on, lines are perfect. He's like, there's no like manualness to it. It just does it. He's like, but I'd like to give you my old one. And I said, well, here's what we can do, Paul. I said, you get it fixed up. He's like, I'm going to change the oil in it, change the carburetor, do all this, and then I'm going to get it real good and fixed up, and I'll give it to you. I said, here's what we'll do, Paul. I said, you give it to me. And then I can ride the riding lawnmower, and I can make my wife do the edges with the push mower. And he's like, perfect idea. And he went in the garage to get it fixed up. Here's the point. I could very easily, because it means something to me. Listen, it does. For those of you that have been to my home, you know I'm kind of obsessive about certain things. He's got a huge trees. Like trees to the point that scare me, because if they fall, they might hit my garage. And I don't have a tree in my yard that sheds leaves, not one. I don't have one. They're all cut down because I, say this with me, I hate leaves. If you don't, you need to be forgiven of your sins, because God made leaves just to keep Christians patient. That's the only purpose they have, is God made them to make Christian preachers not cuss. I hate them. He's got a ton of them. Judy's got more of them. And guess whose yard they end up with, because I have a chain link fence. You want to know how many of them Drug Mart bags of leaves I took out last year? Do you know why Paul came and spoke to me? Because when I had the right to go to him last year and say, listen here, you old, retired, no, I keep my yard perfect. And every time the wind blows, I got to clean up your leaves. Why don't you spend less time at your little bird feeder watching your Baltimore Orioles and get the leaf blower out and come help me do these leaves? You know what I did? I just went out and did the leaves. And every chance I got, I waved at them. And when we moved in, instead of waiting for them to bring us a cake, we took it to them. Instead of waiting for them to be kind to us, we took it to them. Because somebody has to go first. Would I be wrong to sit in my house and be grumpy? No, by the law I'm justified. But the scripture says, on these commandments hang all the law and all the preaching. Some of us don't need a move of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We don't need a supernatural word from the Lord. Some of us need to decide today, I'm going to love my neighbor the way I want my neighbor to love me, and I'm not going to wait till they love me. I'm going to go first. Let's keep reading. Turn with me again. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus again in the Sermon on the Mount. Again, these are all Jesus' words. This is not Brother Mike. This is not trying to get you to cut your grass. This is trying to get you to get a spiritual understanding. Matthew chapter 5, let's start reading at verse 43. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, probably his most famous sermon. He says this, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Let's stop right there. How many of you say, that's the same person? Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. How many of you say, my neighbor is my enemy? Okay, this is for you today. This is for you. Jesus says in verse 44, that's what you've heard. That's what the law said in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Anybody ever been cussed out? Anybody ever been cussed out to your face? Anybody ever been told you're a no good father? Anybody ever been told in the church, you're the reason the church split? You're looking at a preacher that's got some scars on his heart from things that I've been through. I'm not a novice in this thing. I've been around the block. I've been through some church hurt. I've been through some things that cut me to my soul. I've been through some things where people looked me in my face and said, I hope you burn in hell. Not enemies outside, not heathens. I'm talking in the church. I was approached after preaching a message, got off the platform, and a lady who was my mother's best friend approached me at the front pew, shook my hand, and said, that was a great message. I love you so much, and you know I do. She was crying. I said, I know you do. She said, you're going straight to hell. My life isn't all rainbows and people giving me their lawnmowers. Jesus said, it's been said for all time, to love your neighbor, hate your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. All these people that like to preach Jesus as this radical and say that he didn't say what he said and that Jesus was this person, what he was radical about was these things right here. Because the law taught the Jews. Everybody ever heard this? Say it with me. Finish. See if you can finish this sentence. An eye, a tooth. What's that mean? It means this. If Javarm walks up here and pokes me in the eye, according to law, guess what I'm supposed to do? Poke him in the eye. He breaks my finger, I'm supposed to use my other hand, break his finger. You know what that creates? A whole bunch of people walking around with poked eyes and broke fingers. Jesus said, that's what Jesus said. The law says to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, not the UPCI says, not the bylaw say, Jesus said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Anybody in here know somebody that hates them? Anybody in here have somebody hate you? Jesus said, not Brother Mike, don't take my word for it. Don't take me. I'm nobody. I've got to line up to this just like you do. Jesus said, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully, not maybe make a mistake and take advantage. Pray for those that despitefully, everything in them hates you. And they do everything they can to use you and to break you and to hurt you and to ruin you. Jesus said, pray for them. And don't pray like we pray. God, send them a stroke. God, if you're not busy, why don't you send them a heart attack and take care of two problems with one? Amen. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've been down in the pits where everything in me wanted to get revenge. Everything in me wanted to make things right, make things equal, square it away. And I pick up the scripture, and the scripture says, pray for them. You want good advice and this scripture? I'm going to encourage every one of you that says you have somebody that hates you. I want every time you pray, every time, and I want you to do it audibly, not mentally, I want you to mention their name out loud to God. I want you to say, God, bless, and say their name. This could be an ex. I'm telling you, I'm talking to you. There's people in here that have been through divorce. There's people in here that have been sexually assaulted, and they've got trauma in their life, and they haven't gotten over it, and it's a stumbling block to them. It's a hurdle in their life. They love God. They want to do things for God, but they get to a point, and they can't get past it. It's just something. It's something. It's a barrier that they can't get over. Somebody's hurt them real bad. I'm not talking about they said, hey, it looks like you put on some weight. Hey, when are you due and you're not due? I'm not talking about that kind of hurt. I'm talking about real hurt. I'm talking about real trauma, real pain. I'm asking you this week, when you pray and you need to pray, I want you with your voice out loud. Don't hashtag it. Don't post it on social media. Not prayers for Boston. I want you with your mouth to say, God bless, and say their name. Somebody's got to go first. We're waiting for them to make it right, and God's waiting for us to go first. Well, you don't know what they... I know I don't know what they did. He does, and he said, you go first. I'll tell you a short testimony, then we'll move on. We're still ahead of time. I know a preacher. He's from Kentucky. He had a young son. He had one son. And his son got hooked up with this wrong crowd. Everybody's always hung up with the wrong crowd. Sometimes we're the wrong crowd. Well, his son got to be a teenager, and they weren't doing anything real bad. But down in Kentucky, everybody likes to drive four-wheelers. And they were out in the holler mudding. And he got with this crew. And when boys get mudding, in addition to being stupid, which every boy is, if you have a boy, you have a stupid person that lives with you. Amen. I don't care how old he is, he's still male and he's still stupid. And some men take stupidity to a different level because they take stupid juice that has content and they put it into their mouth when they're doing stupid things and the things get stupider. I know. I used to like to fight. I used to like to drink. And when I drank, my mouth ran. And my fighting, which wasn't that good to begin with, got even worse because my dexterity got down. So I'd be in the bar drunk, still running my mouth. It's hard to get out of the bushes when someone punches you dead square in your face. And your wife's like, I told you not to shut up, woman. You better hope I don't get up. This man's son went mudding with all of his buddies on four-wheelers. His dad was a preacher. He had told him, I don't care if you go mudding. Don't be down there smoking nothing. Don't be down there drinking stuff. But, of course, when you get away from dad, old people just don't want you to do that because they know how fun it is. And they're hypocrites because they did it, and now they don't want us to do it. They got down there mudding. They tried to take a hill. His son didn't get up the hill. Tumbled back down backwards and died. Every other boy lived. The pastor told me this. He said, I got in my truck and I drove to that boy's house to kill him. I had one son. I had one son, and they killed him. And he drove to the house with the intention of killing that young man. And if the young man's father did anything, he was going to kill him too. He got to the house. He got out of the truck. He got on the porch. He knocked on the door. The door opened, and it was the young man that he went there to kill. And he said immediately, all he could do was hug him and pray for him. Somebody's got to go first. An eye for an eye leaves a whole nation of blind people. A tooth for a tooth leaves everybody with no teeth in their mouth. But if there's somebody that will say, I'm going to love my neighbor the way I wish they loved me before they loved me, we're going to see a whole bunch of healing in our families and in our lives that right now we can't even fathom, because on them hang the whole law and the prophets. I'm going to finish this, and then we're going to get to the gist of my message, and I got about 15 minutes left. Verse 46 in chapter 5 says, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. This is where we're going to finish up. You're going to see a familiarity in this, but it's going to go into a little bit deeper. God's going to go into a little bit more depth on this. I'm cognizant of time. I'm hurrying. Chapter 10 and verse 25 says, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up. You catching the theme? Lawyers like to argue. A lawyer stands up and tempting him again said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and he said, this is what Jesus said. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Didn't Jesus just say that on that hangs all the law and the prophets? This lawyer gives Jesus' words right back to him. You ever quote somebody back to themselves? Let me give you real good advice. That's not good to do if you're the husband. I know there were some amens that wanted to be said, and they're scared to even say it. Just say it in your mind. You say, don't tell your wife what she said. She knows, and she knows what you said every day of your life for the entire time she's known you, and she'll bring it up at a moment's notice. Don't do that. But this man gives Jesus his words back to him, and Jesus answers him in verse 28, and he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and you shall live. That should have been the end of it. That's the discussion. The man said, what do I got to do to get eternal life? Jesus told him. He said, that's what I said. And Jesus said, "That if you do that, you'll live. But verse 29, this is where all of us stand. But he, speaking of the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? When I read that scripture, I think of one thing. It has nothing to do spiritually. And anybody that's my age or older will understand this. As soon as I read that scripture, you know what I think of? Mr. Rogers. Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? Hi, television neighbor. And he throws his shoe up in the air, puts his cardigan on. Jesus tells the lawyer, he says, love the Lord thy God with everything in you. And the lawyer says it back to him. He said, how do you read the law? And the lawyer said, I got to love God with everything in me and love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus said, that's right. Do that and you'll have eternal life. And the lawyer can't let it go. He says, okay, well, who is my neighbor? You ever have them discussions? You ever hear a lawyer? Some of you that are older than me, you'll understand this politically. We had a president one time that was accused of perjury. And he was being questioned by a lawyer. And they were asking him if he had had sexual relations with an intern. And this was his answer. I'll never forget it. It's the greatest answer I ever heard. He had to be hillbilly. He has to be a hillbilly. And he had to be a husband that got caught cheating many times. Because this was the answer. The lawyer asked him a question under oath. And this was his response. He goes, well, that depends on what the definition of is. I was like, that's the greatest dude. That's the greatest answer I ever heard in my life. Greatest answer. He was so guilty. He knew he was guilty. And his answer was, well, that depends on what the definition of is. I was like, I'm using that. I know I'm going to get caught doing something my way. I'm going to be like, well, you know, the president said that depends. But that's what this lawyer did. He asked a question, and it said him wanting to justify himself. That's where most Christians stop. You've already felt God's presence in this service. God's already spoken to you about something that you need to do when you leave this service in relation to what we're talking about. And right now, we're in what's called the valley decision, where you as individuals are choosing whether to obey what the word of the Lord says or justify yourself. Well, that preacher doesn't. He doesn't fully understand our situation. He doesn't fully understand the extremes of what we're facing. Jesus knows everything. But the lawyer, willing to justify himself, said, well, who is my neighbor? He should have just been quiet. Because let's read this. This is very familiar scripture. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. A man leaves Jerusalem. I can give you the spiritual implication of that. Jerusalem was the house of God. A man left Jerusalem and went down to Jericho. Anytime you leave God's presence, you're going to go down. You're going down. You need to stay in the safety of the church. This man leaves Jerusalem and heads down to Jericho, and on his path there, he falls among thieves who beat him and rob him, strip him of his garments, and leave him on the side of the road half dead. And there by chance, there came a certain priest, say a preacher, say it loud. I know how sometimes you feel about the preacher. Say the preacher. Say it like you say it about me around the dinner table. Say the preacher. The preacher. Good grief. I didn't know that would be the loudest one. What are you guys saying? By chance, there came a certain preacher that way. Say these next words with me. And when he saw him, say the preacher saw him, he passed by on the other side. All right, you don't got to keep saying stuff. Man falls among thieves, gets beaten half to death. He's laying there dying. And here comes the preacher. The preacher sees him. The preacher saw him. He saw the man beaten half to death. And the Bible says he passed by on the other side. Let's keep reading. Sake of time, I want to get somewhere. And likewise, a Levite. Everybody ready? Say, a church person. Say it with the same gusto you said, preacher. Say, me. Me came by. A certain Levite, and he was at the same place, and he came and looked on him. Say, he saw the same thing. And he passed by on the other side. Here's a man laying on the road, dying, literally, beaten half to death. And here comes the preacher from the church, and then right behind him comes the church person. They both look at the man, and they pass by on the other side. I want to teach you something today. Now listen, pay attention to this. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, we can gloss over that if we want, but let me read you some things. Jews, say Jesus was a Jew. Jews viewed Samaritans as half-breeds. Anybody in here racist? Let's get plain real quick. Anybody in here not like black people? Any black people in here don't like white people? Anybody not like Asians? Anybody still won't go to the Chinese buffet because you hate China? Anybody still won't eat sushi because of Pearl Harbor? The Jews hated the Samaritans. Samaritans were particularly hostile to Jews who were on their way to observe religious festivals in Jerusalem. It was at least a three-day journey from Galilee to Jerusalem through Samaria, and Samaritans regularly refused overnight shelter to any pilgrims that were Jewish. Because of this hatred, Jews traveling between Galilee and Jerusalem frequently chose to remain on the east side of the Jordan River, even though it made their trip take longer. I'm going to read you one more thing from history to give you an understanding of the difference between the Jews and the Samaritans and why Jesus specifically tells this man that a Samaritan came to the man that was injured. Give me a few minutes and let me get to the point of what I want to read. This is not scripture. This is just archaeological history about Samaritans. Samaritans were a mixed blood race resulting from the intermarriage of Israelites left behind when the people of the northern kingdom were exiled and Gentiles brought into the land by Assyrians. Bitter hostility existed between Jews and Samaritans in Jesus' day. They hated one another. There were laws in the Jewish law book that you were not allowed to be in the same vicinity as a Samaritan. So if I was a Jew and Brother Greg was a Samaritan and I'm walking down the road, this was literally legal for me to do. This was illegal for me to do. He was a half-breed. I'm being plain for a reason. I wasn't allowed to eat with him. He wasn't allowed in my house physically for anything. There was hostility. He wanted nothing to do with me, and I wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus tells the lawyer, Because the lawyer, real smugly, said, "Who's my neighbor?" This is a Jewish man talking to Jesus. A Jewish, he's not some Jewish nobody. He's a lawyer. Lawyers have always had money because they know how to ask them questions. The lawyer, real smugly, trying to tempt Jesus. He walked by you on the other side. All those people that you go to church with, they came and saw you. They walked by. They know what you're going through. They know what you're facing. They know the experiences that you have. They know the trial that you're in right now. They saw it. They looked at it. They've seen what you're dealing with. And they chose to walk by on the other side. They ain't got no time for you. Well, it's important. I got to get to Conneaut. I got to go to conference. I didn't put this suit on for nothing. I'm looking good. I got church to go to. I watched this play out the other night. And I know some of you have certain feelings about Pastor Arderi, but I'll tell you one thing about Pastor Arderi. He actually does what he says he does. He was preaching Wednesday night Bible study, and he was talking about going out of your way to help people. And he was belaboring points. He has a way of doing that. He just kept hammering these points about your schedule doesn't matter. Your schedule doesn't matter. Your schedule. He's preaching on Wednesday night to people that had to run from work to get to church. Your schedule doesn't matter. Your schedule doesn't matter. Amount of money you have doesn't matter. Your schedule. He's preaching. Everyone's sitting there like, dude, say something nice to us. We're the ones that are here. Your schedule doesn't matter. Your schedule doesn't matter. And here I am. I have a planner. I write everything out to the minute. Like, I have a to-do list every morning. Like, all I do is schedule. So I'm living. I feel bad about myself. I didn't go to the altar because I was angry. We leave church. We're coming up 11. Some of you know where Pastor Arderi lives in relation to the Jefferson Church. Pastor Arderi's schedule obviously didn't matter because I left church before him. And I was going 78 miles an hour. And very quickly after I got on 11, I saw a large Dodge Ram. And I was like, well, Pastor Arderi's schedule does matter because he's trying to get home in 3 seconds. And he flew past me and got into the right lane. And about a quarter of a mile up the road, something happened. I don't know what it was that happened, but all of a sudden we saw real hard brake lights. I don't know if they hit a deer. I don't know if something slipped in I don't know what happened. But this car hurried up and got itself over to the side of the road, like not real smoothly. It got over. You could see like debris and stuff like that, even though it was dark out. So I hurried up. I got off my cruise. I got into the passing lane to be safe to go around them. And I watched Pastor Arder hit his brake lights. Throw his truck into reverse in Route 11 and gun it back and get out of his car to go check on them. He wouldn't want you to clap. He'd want you to do it. Well, that person could have been drunk. You're right. They could have been beating their wife. You're right. They could have been high. You're right. They could have been a child molester. You're right. Everything that I just named needs Jesus. We have them. But sometimes we get real proud of this stuff. Our perfect attendance. Jesus said a Samaritan comes over to this guy that's laying there half dead. If that guy hadn't been beaten half dead, he probably wouldn't want anything to do with that Samaritan. Do you get what I'm saying spiritually? Sometimes God can't bless us in our prosperity because our heart's not right, because we have hatred to our brothers and our sisters. He's got to allow us to be beaten half dead before we can accept help from somebody that if everything's going great, we don't got time for them. Some of you go to church with people that are trying to be your friend, but they're not Brother Mike and Sister Katie, so it's not cool to hang out with them, and you're missing the greatest blessings you have in your life. Some of us rub shoulders with people that society says are half-breeds. We shouldn't be around them. They're white trash, all of the words that we use. They're drug addicts. They're dirty. They're poor. And God's saying they're exactly who your neighbor is that you're supposed to love. Love just like yourself. Ooh. I didn't mean to get like this. The priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan all saw the same exact thing. Only one of them chose to do anything about it. Somebody's got to go first. Because Jesus, when he finishes up, the very last verse of that portion of Scripture, I'm going to save you for the sake of time. Luke 10 and 37. Or let's read verse 36, after he gets done, because that Samaritan took that man to an inn, poured oil and wine into his wounds, and told the innkeeper, he said, take care of him, and when I come back through my journey, if you had to spend any of your own money, I'll pay you out of my own pocket for his care. And it was day's wages. It wasn't $5 to a stranger on the street. So Jesus looks at that smug lawyer and he says, which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him among the thieves? Jesus ever ask you point blank? Jesus ever speak to you spiritually point blank? And you have a choice to make? He's doing it right now. He's doing it. You're hearing the word of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is saying that preacher's telling you exactly what I told him to tell you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to leave today just like you've left every other Sunday? And be, we had a good service. I enjoyed the fellowship. Brother Mike's a nice guy. I really like Sister Katie. She's really the jewel in the crown. Mike's, we just tolerate him. Are you going to finally let Jesus impact you? Are you finally going to let the Spirit of the Lord make a difference in your life, rather than just making your goosebump machine go off? Because Jesus looked at that lawyer and he said, now that you've heard this, what thinkest thou? Who was most neighbor to the man that fell among thieves? The lawyer said, the Samaritan. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. We always leave church kind of pumped up. We speak words of encouragement. Everybody gets refilled for the week out in the trenches. You don't work where I work. You don't know what I go through. And I come in so spiritually drained. And we get filled up. We enjoy the fellowship. We're going to have a baptism. We enjoy the cake. We sing happy birthday. The kids get us inspired. Seeing the crowd starting to grow gets us all excited. And we leave. And God says, when you get up Monday morning, do something different. Go do likewise. Somebody has to go first. Could you imagine? Those of you that raised your hands with those neighbors, what would you do tomorrow? Tomorrow. Now, I'm not going to give a time because some of you sleep way later than adults should sleep. So we'll just say whatever time it is that's comfortable for you, Amber. That neighbor that when I was talking about the leaves, you were like, yeah, I'd like to burn his trees down. That person that just, man, just something about him. You're just oil and water. Every time you get around him, you're just like, ugh. What would you do tomorrow? Tomorrow. You're sitting there watching Regis and Kelly or whatever it's called now. That's how old I am, Regis. You open the door, and there they are on your porch. And you're like, here we go. They got a pie. And they say, you know what? Let's let bygones be bygones. I'm being serious. You wait. There's the knock. You open the door. You forgot to get your gun this time. There they stand in all their glory. And you're like, here we go. Monday morning, Monday Night Raw, right on the porch. And they look in your face with their eyes swelled up. And they say, it ain't worth it. Let's let bygones be bygones and let's start new. So go do it. Don't wait to answer your door. Go knock on theirs with the pie, with the tears in your eyes, saying, let's let bygones be bygones. That's what Jesus said. Let me give you something. I want this church fooling more than anybody in here. I want to preach to people hanging out the windows. You know how it's going to happen? It's not going to happen by Brother Mike getting more spiritual. It's not going to happen by us organizing our social media platform in a way that we take care of our Google ads that I've applied for to get $10,000 a month in free Google ads because they give those to churches, and I'm trying to get them. That's not how it's going to come. It's not going to come by professional postcards. It's not going to come by our schedule of our service being so lined up that our spirit of excellence works so well. What it's going to come by is the people of God allowing themselves to be used of God to love their neighbors as their self. It's not going to come if we get more offerings. It's not going to come if we have better prayer meetings. It's not going to come if we change the schematics of how we do Bible study. What's going to change is when the people of God say, you know what? I'm going to do it first. I'm not waiting for somebody else to get out of the boat. I'm going to be Peter and step out in faith and go to my neighbor and love them the way Jesus told me to. And if we get a bunch of us to buy in, we're going to see things we've never seen. We're going to experience moves of God we've never have. It's literally right on the other side of somebody saying, here I am, send me. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about from experience. No, you know, I don't talk about it because I like being a man. I don't know if you guys like that. I like man. And I look at myself, I'm a man's man. You're like, you cry a lot for being a man's man. Shut up. I'll fist fight you if I'm tougher than you. If you're tougher than me, I'll apologize. Behind closed doors and then come out and let me be like I'm tough. But I got all kinds of hurt. A lot of it's my own fault. Some of it's not. Some of it I did everything right, Sister Carter. And I can't understand why they don't love me. I've poured into people that looked at me and walked away. And I don't understand why. You'd be amazed at people I text every week. Ghost me. I don't know what I did. Well, it shouldn't bother you. Well, it does. It hurts me really, really bad. But I can also speak to you from experience to tell you that there's been people that have hurt me terribly bad.
And God spoke to me and said, go make it right. And I said, I didn't do anything wrong. And God said, I didn't ask you if you did anything wrong. I told you, go make it right. I've apologized when I wasn't wrong. I've asked forgiveness through screen windows because the person hated me so bad that they wouldn't open the door. And you know what it's done for me? It's lifted weights off of my shoulders that God never intended for me to carry. That depression, that anxiety, those sleepless nights, that eczema that breaks out, that skin rash that you just can't get through, those twitches are not from God. And God has sent a preacher to you this morning to give you an antidote for it. And he said, somebody has to go first. And congratulations, you have now been called. Go do likewise. Brother Mike, can you please preach us something good? Every time we leave, we kind of feel like, you know when it's good service? Is when you leave and you liked a little bit of it, and a little bit of it made you do this. And you get in the car and you're like, he doesn't understand. And then 2 o'clock this afternoon, he's like, he kind of understands. And then 5 o'clock, you're like, he doesn't understand. And then 9 o'clock, you're laying in bed, and it's been on your mind all day long. And then Monday morning, you wake up, and it's there again. You're like, man, Brother Mike's in my dreams, and he's ugly. It's a nightmare. I see his head. It's like Max Headroom. You know what that is? That's exactly what it is. God's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything. That's what we want. We want God to come down and grab us and shake us and do right. He don't do that. You know what God does, Brother Greg? He's doing it to you right now. He knocks on your heart. You want to know why people have a hard time even coming to church? Because God talks to them. They don't like that. And you know what he tells you? Go do likewise. I don't understand the plan of salvation. You don't have to. You know what you would want them to do to you. God told you this morning, go do it to them first. If you do, God's going to take care of your issues and theirs. If you don't, you'll be back next Sunday looking for the answer that you already have. On this, hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. Could you imagine that world? Can you imagine that world? It solves every problem. There is no adultery if you love your neighbor as yourself. You're not looking at your neighbor's wife. You're not stealing anything out of their garage. They're not ripping you off on your taxes. Love God with everything you got and then walk across that yard and say, you know what? The hatchet's buried. Let's have a picnic. And I'm bringing the beans. Amen. Stand with me. I want to challenge you. I'm going to give you a charge. That's what preachers call it. We're going to get ready for a baptism, so I'm going to need some gentlemen when I'm done to help me get those lids off. I'm going to go down and get changed into the waiters, and we're going to baptize Sister Glenna in Jesus' name. And I'm really excited about it. If there's anybody else who wants to be baptized while the water's troubled, let's get it taken care of. The Bible says, baptism doth now save you. It's part of the plan of salvation. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm going to tell you a great day to do it right now. We're going to baptize her. go do likewise. I'll throw you in the water too. Not at the same time. I'm not that strong. But I want to charge you with something. I don't want you to say this if you don't mean it. But if God spoke to you in this message about a person, about a situation, about something in your life, this is how we're going to dismiss today. I want you to say this with me. We're not going to repeat the sinner's prayer. You're going to repeat Brother Mike's prayer. You with me? Bow your head. Close your eyes. I don't want anybody looking around. This is for you specifically. Say, Jesus, help me this week to do exactly what you've laid on my heart to do. And God, when I do it, I'm giving it to you. Amen. If you've prayed that and you'll follow through, God is going to start to minister into your life in this situation, and God can take care of things in a moment that would take us a lifetime to try to figure out. Love each other the way you wish they loved you. You know them words we talked about at the beginning? If I want my wife to tell me how handsome I am, you know the way to get that done is for me to walk in the house and say, honey, oh, you look prettier. I say, you look finer than frog hair. I'm hillbilly. I know that's not a compliment for some of you, but finer than frog hair is about as good as you can get in Kentucky. You want that neighbor to come over and tell you how nice your yard looks? Why don't you walk over today? Why don't you walk over today? It's going to be so out of character. It's going to be so out of custom. Why don't you just walk over and say, you know what? I'll give you the line to say. They'll look at you. They're like, what's he coming over here for? Say, you know what? I was thinking. You know the only thing better than this weather today? Is you. Turn around, walk away. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. You want to get somewhere with God today? Practice these words with me. It don't matter no more. Tomorrow's a new day. And everything's going to be new. Hey, I'm talking. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, try God. Put him to the test. If you don't believe me, do what his word said to do. And when he shows up in your life, don't come to Brother Mike and say thank you for the message. Throw your hands up in the air and say thank you, Jesus, for caring enough about me to speak into my soul. Yeah. Amen. Love one another for a few minutes. It takes me a while to get changed. We're going to have a baptism. Some of you brothers get this lid off, and we'll get Glenna baptized in Jesus' name. If I get busy and forget to tell you, I try to tell you every week. I love every one of you. You mean the world to me. Please tell me what you're saying. We got two baptisms today. If you guys want to come up on the platform once this is saved, just watch the kids so they don't fall in the baptismal. Might be good for them, though.